I hope this morning of another episode of the Guitar Podcast brings you evening. And again, this is episode number 83. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars, amps, pedals, music, and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Check out the show notes. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. And go to theguitarpodcast.net. Sign up for email alerts. You'll get emails letting you know when a new episode's been released, other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast, so on and so forth. You're going to hear the audio quality get really a lot worse, but the content is going to get a whole lot better in the next few seconds. Here we go. Hey, how's it going? This is Lauren, and once again, you can tell I'm in my mobile podcasting studio on my way into work. So, I'm probably going to be all over the place, because I have a lot of things I want to talk about, and hopefully I can recall everything that I want to talk about. So, I tell you, I really love the Honda commercials right now. They're giving so many props to Judas Priest. Hopefully Judas Priest is getting the cash for them using, you know, the royalties for Honda using their songs in their commercials. But, man, I love it. I love it. I grew up, it was like my first metal experience was with bands like, you know, Motley Crue and Judas Priest. You know, Kiss a little bit, but, you know, I'm not a huge Kiss fan. But Judas Priest had such a great guitar sound, and you know, those two guitars, British metal, really loud. And so usually, typically, before I, you know, one of the last commercials I see before I turn off the news and hop in the shower and stuff is one of the Honda commercials. And so I'm in the shower and all I'm sitting there is you got another thing coming running through my head, like, da, da. Okay, the Beavis and Butthead just came out in me, all right? The inner 14-year-old headbanger just came out. So, but anyway, I just wanted to share that. If you're not familiar with early 80s Judas Priest, like from 79 through, I'd say, about 84, do yourself a big favor and give that a listen. I can tell you, "Screaming for Vengeance" is a great album. One of the best metal albums of the era, and has many really cool songs on there. "Defenders of the Faith" has some cool stuff on it, but after that, the Turbo album, don't bother. Really, don't bother. They started experimenting with synth guitars, and it just was not. That's not Priest. That's not Judas Priest. Come on. So I wanted to share that. Also, you know, one of the videos I have on YouTube is the D'Addario EXP coated acoustic guitar string review, and it's gotten some of the most views of any of my videos, and some of the most comments, pro and con. And of course, there are some DBs out there who would, you know, just throw something out there, hiding behind their keyboard, saying negative things, and not really quantifying it, not backing up, not validating any, even when called out. You know, do tell. What are you really saying here? You know, and you know, when you call those guys out online, typically they just kind of It depends on how you call them out. I think we covered that in an earlier episode in my last rant, but. Yeah, it depends on how you call them out. But if you call them out in a way that's like very straight to the point, like, so what do you really mean? Or how do you, how so? Or what would you recommend? Or let's see your video. Or let's see, you know. So where's your podcast? You know, why don't you get a podcast, jerk face? So anyway. My niece is, 12 years old, and she is really taken off with guitar. She just plays guitar a lot. She loves the Beatles and Adele, a bunch of other bands, and, individually positions, and it's really, really cool for me to see my nieces really get into music. Like, one of them is how old is she? 16, and she is into. She started playing guitar and taking guitar lessons, and she really has an aptitude for it. But what really took off for her was piano. She found her love, and that's piano. I mean, I remember doing that. I mean, I could play trombone just fine when I was playing trombone. It was just okay. But when I really started playing guitar, that's when it was like, yeah, I liked guitar a lot when I was a little kid, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Thought it was so cool, but I couldn't really play. But when I'm sitting there 12, 13 years old and I'm banging around on my dad's acoustic guitar and having a lot of fun with that, and by the time I was 14, I realized, you know, this is it. This is the guitar. This is my instrument, and nothing else is really going to really compare. And, you know, stringed instruments were what worked for me. It's really neat to see that in a family member, a young family member coming up as a young musician, see them discover, oh, wow. You know, it would have been great if it would have been guitar, but I don't care. As long as it's, you know, like I said before, I hope that, you know, the kids in our family take up, you know, the respectable, what I call respectable instruments, like a piano or a violin or viola or oboe or cello, those sorts of things. That, you know, have a good grasp of guitar too, because guitar is a great, it can be a classical instrument, it can be a folky instrument, it could be, you know, a lot of things. It's very versatile, a lot like a piano, but you can take it with you really easy. That's a great thing about, one of the great things, many great things about guitar. So back to the strings and my niece. So it's her birthday this weekend, and we're having a little birthday party for her, and typically the deal is that my wife gets the birthday and Christmas presents for the girls, and I get the birthday presents and such for the guys. You know, it makes things easy, because, you know, I'm a guy, I kind of know what guys want, and I don't know, you know, when it comes to girls, man, it's kind of a mystery, all right? So that made things easy. Well, not this time. Well, it kind of easy, because my wife texted me yesterday, hey, we're celebrating her birthday, and she really wants, you know, guitar picks and guitar stuff and music and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. I mean, and then it hit me, hey, wait a minute. This is what you buy for, yeah, that is my turn signal. It's not yours if you're listening in your car. So you're not the old guy driving down the highway with your turn, with your blinker on. Hey, buddy, your blinker's on. So it dawned on me that I was doing, you know, I was buying for the girl instead of just the guys. And, you know, no problem with it. Just because, you know, I can assess what she's wanting and needing and get something cool for her, guitar related, you know. So anyway, she's looking for music and picks, and I remember helping her pick out her acoustic guitar last spring, and I'm sure the guitar strings that are on there were fine when they were purchased and stuff. But I decided last night, and I couldn't find music that she was requesting, like a songbook. And I thought, you know, a young guitar student, or someone who's kind of new to guitars, may not, you know, take the care of their guitar as seriously as someone who may be, you know, a little more experienced. And what I'm meaning by that is, you know, wiping off your strings before and after you're done playing. And I don't always wipe them off after I'm playing. You know, get the sweat and gook off of there and the oils off the strings so that they're not going to corrode. So that they last longer. And that's why they made the coated strings, so that they would last longer and avoid the corrosion and stuff like that. And the most natural feeling acoustic guitar strings that are coated that I've played have been those D'Addario EXPs. I'm not an Elixir fan, and they just feel funny. You can feel it, and I don't like it. It doesn't feel like steel underneath my fingers. It feels like, I don't know, like it's, well, like it is. It's wrapped in something. It's just not, I don't know, I'm just not a fan. So I got to thinking, well, and with my experience on my Taylor, it's been more than a year that I've had those EXPs on my Taylor, and they still look bright. They sound decent. They don't sound as bright as they did. They sounded a little bright and harsh to me early on when I first put them on there. But as they've aged, they sound a lot better. Still probably not as good as my favorites, which are the Martin SPs. And the Martin SPs don't last very long at all. But they sound awesome. I love the way they sound, the way they feel. And they look really cool, too, because all six strings are gold, which is awesome. It means your tone is golden. It's gold. Anyway, so, you know, with that in mind, I think that, you know, those EXPs, the coated strings, well, nanos or whatever, I don't care which ones you prefer, but I think they're ideally suited for the young or new musician, new guitar player, new guitar student, who doesn't necessarily take the care of their instrument as a prominent role in what they do with their instrument. A lot of times it's, I play it and play it and play it until I'm really tired and I just put it down. Or go to bed with it, you know. It's lying in bed with them, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, I've done that a few times. Once or twice. You know, although I don't typically buy the EXPs or the coated strings for my guitars, I can see that would be a really good use of those strings. But say if you're a pro and you're playing out every night and everything, the extra expense of coated strings doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially if you're having, because I mean, you're going to change those strings every night. And I know some musicians, some guitarists will have their tech. They'll play the guitar, those strings, for like three or four songs, switch guitars, and their tech is immediately going to change the strings. So that, like, you know, the strings were only good for three or four songs. So why spend on, you know, coated strings? You know, spend the money and time on coated strings when you're only going to use them for a couple songs? And they're clearly not worn out or dead, but they really want that brand new, out-of-the-package sound or tone. And I'm sure that there's something that guys like Brad Paisley and Eddie Van Halen, Steve Vai, and you know, Joe Satriani, all those guys hear that I'm not hearing, because they're doing it every night. And it's funny, whenever I was a young guitar player, and they're saying, you need to develop your ear and develop tone. You don't have, and I was like, what are you hearing that I'm not hearing? I want to hear this. And it wasn't until I was probably about 17, I started hearing some differences, some real changes. And that was my blinker, not yours. Some real changes in my guitar tone. Other guitar players that, you know, I'd see in person playing, like, at a guitar shop, and as well as certainly listening to guys on the radio. But sure, part of it is, you know, I think age and time and the amount of music you listen to and how much you're listening that helps develop your ear and your tone. And it probably wasn't until I was, I'd say, about 21 or 22, when I was really, I'd say 20, 21, I started getting tube amps, and I really, really got the big picture of tone, and timing in pitch that, you know, and it was funny because why didn't I hear that before? You know? And then when I got to playing country, it's like, how are they getting that? It should be clean. But I have a clean amp on, and it doesn't sound right. It sounds like garbage. And traffic is crazy. I think we're all going to get smashed here. This is really stupid. This is the worst construction zone ever. Thanks a lot, NDOT. Somebody's going to get killed here, I swear. I know they are. This is the stupidest. I can't believe it. Yeah, anybody in central Indiana who takes 74 eastbound into Indianapolis to try to merge onto 465 southbound, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a nightmare getting on this. This is my commute every day now. And I swear somebody's going to get smashed between a couple semis and this concrete barricade. It's just stupid. Just stupid. Sorry. Sorry about the auto rant, but it's going to come out once in a while when I do these. So, when I was playing, I started playing country tele picking guitar. I was like, okay, it needs to be clean, and I'm using the bridge pickup, and well, it sounds really, you know, shrill and harsh and trebly, and I'm not getting that warmth, and I'm not getting it. I didn't understand that, hey, you know, even though it's clean, it needs to be. It needs to have a little bit of hair on the note, on the tone. A little fuzziness. Just a little bit to make that honk and bite, you know. So, or the bite honk, or something or other. So that, you know, just a little bit of overdrive on that clean. It's still clean, it's still got some drive to it. And of course, nowadays, you listen to country tele pickers, sometimes they might not be playing a tele. They may be playing a Les Paul through a Marshall, for crying out loud. You know, and I know many of you and my dad and sometimes me will say, that ain't country. But, you know, it is what it is. And if that's what's selling, that's what's selling. You know, that's marketing. You know, marketing to what's selling. You know, slave to the almighty dollar. So, you know, it's funny that it's like, okay, well, part of that was my ear was looking for something, but I didn't know how to get it, but really needed to be there. And so it's blending that so that now your ear knows what it wants, but, you know, how do you get it? There's the trick. And that's my blinker, too. And big monster truck won't let me over. This is one of the times I wish I was still driving a truck. Of course, I never drove a monster truck, but, you know, I like driving a truck because, you know, driving a little car, it's like, just a little car, we'll just push him into the barricade, no big deal. But a big truck, it's a different story. So then on to my next topic. I'm reading an article in the latest Vintage Guitar Magazine. A big interview with Steve Vai, and it's really, really cool. I don't have any Steve Vai records, albums, tapes, CDs, MP3s, but I have tremendous respect for the man. You know, he marches to his own drum. He just is way out there, and I mean, can you argue with me if I were to say that he's one of the best guitar players in the world? And has been for the last, you know, 25 years. I don't know that you can argue with that. Maybe about the years part. But it's really cool, the things that he's talking about. And one thing in particular he said that really rang true with me is, you know, and I've said it here before on the show when I was talking about, like, the best guitar player of all time. And he's just talking about, you know, whether you like the music or not. Or like him or not, or his guitar playing and stuff like that. He said, well, this is art. And art is so subjective. And you can't really say that somebody's liking a guitar player or liking, you know, not liking them is right or wrong. Because, you know, it all comes down to their taste. And just like my dad. You know, I mean, me personally, I like a lot of different styles of music. I'm a little too eclectic. I have friends that are like, you really need to narrow that down to, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I can like blues and metal and country and classical and folk and, you know, why not? You know, variety is the spice of life, right? But then there are guys like my dad who does not like rock and roll, does not like blues, but he likes, you know, country and you know, gospel. You know, that's what he likes. And I found it really, really funny, though, after he retired, I heard him listening to, like, the oldies station. And it was oldies rock and roll, like the 50s and 60s stuff he grew up with that he didn't like. But he's listening to it. Ah, it's funny how people change. But yeah, the Motown stuff he was listening to, it's great. So, I mean, even old curmudgeons like my dad, he'd change it, you know, and say, hey, you know, I kind of like that. It's kind of neat. So, and I think sometimes the music is just too far ahead of us, and sometimes we're too far ahead of the music. And but just like good music is always way far ahead of radio. Radio just, you know, you young listeners that complain about radio today and you don't listen to the radio because it's terrible, listen. Radio stunk years ago when I was a teenager. You know, back in the 80s, it was horrible then. So even when we got good radio stations here in Indiana, it only lasted a short while because, you know, they only played the songs off of those albums that the record companies thought were the hits. And occasionally they got it right. And occasionally they got it wrong. And, you know, just like, you know, one of my favorite bands is Alice in Chains. What's one of their biggest hits? Well, it's Man in the Box. What's probably the worst song on that CD? I'd say it's Man in the Box. I mean, I first heard him, I was like, that song's really not all that great. And I mean, it's okay, but it's not all that great. And I wasn't a big fan, but I saw him in concert and was like, wow, there's a lot of passion and emotion, heavy stuff going on with this band. This is really cool. Very next day, run to Karma Records and pick up the facelift tape. And just, I burnt that thing up that summer. I listened to that thing like crazy. Best songs on that, most people don't even know, because they don't have the album, and radio doesn't play it. They don't play the good stuff. They play the stuff the A&R guys say, you gotta play this song. So, anyway, I've gotta stop for now. I'll be back. All right, another little tidbit from the Steve Vai article. I'm going to continue to bring it up because it's a long article and there's all kinds of cool stuff in it. And I don't remember who it was who I answered a question for last episode regarding their vintage guitar that had pickups that were kind of cockeyed and the pole pieces didn't match up, didn't align perfectly with the strings. And how I mentioned it really wasn't a concern, and that I am sure that I've seen pictures of Eddie Van Halen's earlier Frankenstein guitars, the ones that he just built, put together, whatever, where the bridge pickup was cockeyed, maybe by, like, rotated about maybe 10 to 15 degrees, and the pole pieces didn't match up, didn't align with the strings. And, excuse me, in this article, this interview, they're showing a bunch of Steve's Gem guitars, because it's like the 25th anniversary of the Gem guitar and all these different things. And they don't show the green Meanie, because I think it was stolen a long time ago and it's just gone. But they do show his 1977 Fender Stratocaster that he used when he played with Frank Zappa. It was his first, what they call it, like, real guitar. And it was the first guitar that he started modding into what eventually would become a Gem. Kind of like the Green Meanie was a Charvel guitar that he just messed with until it became what it was. And anyway, that 77, he put a humbucker in the bridge position, but it is angled too, about maybe about 7 to 15 degrees, somewhere around in there, just to rotate it a little bit. And the picture doesn't show the detail there, you know, to see if they're not lined up, but looking closely, kind of squinting and imagining what might be there, and what I could tell is those pole pieces don't align with the strings either. So I really don't see it as too big of a concern. It's like when people talk about raising and lowering the pole pieces on their pickups. I did that on my first guitar, and of course it was before my ear for tone and everything was really developed. I was like, what, 15? And I've never noticed a big difference, so I've just pretty much left them stock however they were whenever I bought the guitar. And I've been happy with it, right? But I know there are people who raise them and lower them and are very particular about that, and that's fine. It's just, I'm not one that's going to be very particular about it. And if, you know, if Steve Vai was playing that guitar for however many years before, you know, he got a gem, then it was good enough for Steve Vai. You know, I think it's good enough for me. So there's my two cents on that. And I think that puts a wrap on the whole pole pieces not aligning piece, at least my opinion and my observations there. And hope that helped. All right, so I'd like to clear up something or a point of maybe a little bit of confusion. And I'm not sure where this person's hostility is actually directed, if it's directed towards my podcast or some other folks' podcast, but his comment was basically, I can summarize it by basically saying, a bunch of idiots talking about guitars and not knowing what they're talking about, and who think that a $170 Dean is a great guitar. And since I have talked about a Dean guitar that I got for well under $200 and put and made upgrades to it, I assumed perhaps the person might be talking about me, but the simple fact that he said, you know, a couple of idiots or whatever, maybe talking about another podcast that I know of, and in defense of them too, any of them, any of the others, I'd like to say I really enjoy the other podcasts, the other guitar podcasts, and that have more than one person. I mean, of course, most of the time, as you know, this is a monologue, right? But the other two podcasts I listen to on a regular basis when they come out, they're a handful of guys talking, and it's very relaxed, casual, and he's going, and they're goofing off and stuff and having a good time, but there's a lot of good information there, right? So I don't know if he's talking about them or what, but I think, you know, you got to realize this isn't, you know, MTV or you know, NBC, or this isn't polished stuff. For crying out loud, I'm recording this in my car on my way to work wearing a tie. Yeah, I'm wearing a tie, and that's somewhat formal, but, you know, this podcast isn't, and the audience isn't, and we're, you know, just, I look at you all as, like, you know, my guitar buddies, right? So, anyway, if, in fact, this person was talking about me in response to me talking about that Dean guitar, and you're probably not listening, but just clear it up and so y'all know where I'm coming from with this. If there was any point of confusion on this, that Dean guitar was something of a project and a fun thing, and I got it for under $200. And its basic foundation was pretty decent, especially considering made in China, and it was, you know, so cheap. But, you know, the neck straight, frets are big, 24 frets, stays in tune whenever you use the tremolo. My only real complaint with the guitar was its electronics weren't all that great. So what did I do? I put Seymour Duncans in the bridge and the neck pickup, upgraded the pots to CTS pots, and put a nice capacitor in there. And so, you know, I just upgraded the electronics. And still, you know, the guitar, I probably have right around, I think, $230 in the guitar, maybe right around there, I think. So, you know, for that amount of money, knowing what you're doing, you know, you can get it, it's a decent guitar for what it is. No, it is not the pinnacle of guitars. It is not my favorite guitar that I own. It's not the best guitar I own. As you've heard probably before on this podcast, that I talk about, you know, Les Pauls, and I love Les Pauls. And my A number one guitar is my 1987 Les Paul Custom with a tobacco sunburst and oozing with awesomeness, right? So, and that's not a $200 guitar. It's not a $200 Dean or $160 Dean. You know, the pinnacle of my collection is that Les Paul, and I have others that are nice and stuff. And I, you know, as you know, I've talked about boutique gear on here and so on and so forth. But, you know, and typically I don't really want to give people like this a any kind of platform, but I felt it necessary because he seemed to lump all of us in and not be real clear about who he was bashing. So in defense of some other podcasts, if he was bashing them for being idiots, I think that's unfair and not cool, and don't be a jerk on the internet. Don't hide behind a keyboard and be a big guy. Or think you're big because you're hiding behind a keyboard. You're not. Be real and be, you know, don't be mean, don't be a jerk. There's no place for that, really. I think people like that are getting called out on the internet more and more. But, you know, like I said, I don't want to give this guy a platform or anything, but I didn't like it that it sounded like he was talking about all of us. And it's not cool. And I really like the casual nature of the other podcasts that talk about guitar. I think I'm fairly casual, but, you know, I don't have another person here I'm talking to goof off with, so who knows how goofy it would be if I had somebody else to talk to here. But I like this format. I think you guys do too. And I just wanted to air my I just wanted to vent a little bit, and I won't bring it up again. So there. Hope that cleared that up. No, Dean does not make the pinnacle of all guitars, in my opinion. And but I like mine. So anyway, there you go. Oh, and just listen. You know, before you start opening your mouth, use your ears more than your mouth, and that'll help out a lot. Oh, I guess that goes into the whole thing of trust your ear, you know. Anyway, so I hate to end this episode on, you know, a note where I'm kind of ranting but I'm trying to clear things up, you know. And I the other folks putting out these podcasts, they're putting themselves out there too, and they don't have to, but to take the kind of abuse that I saw this jerk face doing, you know, I just thought I'd step up and say, you know, I think people hide behind their keyboard online a little too much and get a little big for their britches. So anyway, maybe I'm big for my britches because I'm kind of ranting on my podcast. I'm hiding behind my microphone. All right, well, it's late, folks, so I'm going to wrap it up. My script says, well, that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on Facebook or the show notes. If you liked what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zune or whatnot, then please let them know by writing a review. Hopefully good. But, you know, if it's bad, you know, I get it. You know, that's the transparency of the internet, right? Also, if you like the Guitar Podcast, if you like the show, and you like what you're hearing here and everything, and you like to support the show in a way that doesn't cost you any money, directly to me, really, if you were to like to buy something from iTunes or buy something from Sam Ash before you go directly to their website or whatever, come on over to theguitarpodcast.net and click on one of those banners there. You click on one of those and then do your transaction. It gives me a little percentage of their profit margin. And it doesn't cost you any extra money, just a little extra time. And I know you're sending some love my way. And I love it. So, again, like I said before, I'm never going to ask you to give me money without me giving you something else in return that's like more than what you're giving me in value, if that makes sense. And in this way, you're not really sending anything to me. Anyway, all that aside, thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast, telling you to trust your ear.